Let's waste no time and go right into the studio. John O'Manson introduces the music.
This song is called Footprints on the Moon, and it's one of the songs on my very soon to be released new record. And the very brief story behind this song is that I was recently reading a book to my now 6-year-old daughter, and it was a book about our solar system, and there's a chapter in the book about the moon, about our moon, and it mentioned in that chapter that the footprints that we left on the moon, assuming you're amongst those who believe we actually went to the moon, are still there by virtue of the fact that there is no wind on the moon and will remain. And that got me to thinking about, you know, our human existence, and about the fact that if we keep going down the path we seem to be going down, we may not be around on this planet as long as we once thought we might, and that those footprints might be what we leave behind. And so here we go.
I was only 8 years old, I woke one summer night so I could watch the images in blurry black and white. The zenith broadcast shadows that danced around the room as astronauts made history and footprints on the moon. And we did rise up, lifting into flight. We did rise up, burning through the night. In the moment of our triumph, in our finest hour, at the apex of our glory and our fearsome power, turning homewards we did lift off, leaving golf balls on the dune, and our great flag proudly flying over footprints on the moon. And we did rise up, lifting into flight. We did rise up, burning through the night. And as the tides roll out and in great cities rise and grow, the heavens gaze down silently at progress down below. With the tallest towers set ablaze, our fiddle plays its tune, drifting ever upwards past footprints on the moon. And we did rise up, lifting into flight. We did rise up, burning through the night. All have risen and life begins anew. The earth will keep on spinning, beautiful and blue. When our song has ended and our race is run too soon, leaving nothing but a shadow and footprints on the moon, we will rise up, lifting into flight. We will rise up, burning through the night. We will rise up, lifting into flight. We will rise up, burning through the night.
This song is called I'm Ready, and it's also on my soon-to-be-released new album. And, I don't know if it requires much introduction. I don't think it does.
I'm ready for the flood. I'm ready. I'm ready for the fire. I'm ready for the cold. I'm ready for the storm. as long as you're here to keep me warm. I'm ready, ready for love. I'm ready for the hunger. I'm ready for the thirst. I'm ready for the fear. I'm ready for the night. As long as you're here to hold me tight, I'm ready, ready for love. Everybody's saying that it's coming, and it's just around the bend. The very last chapter in the book of man. Just a few more pages until the end. Still I'm ready, ready for love. I'm ready for the crazy. I'm ready for the bang. I'm ready for the dirt. I'm ready for the bones. As long as you're here to carry me home.
The concept for the record revealed itself as I was making the album, and it wasn't something that I, you know, wasn't a preconceived notion that I set out to do in this format. But, you know, sometimes as you're working through a body of work, or you're writing songs that then become a body of work, you know, the certain themes start to make themselves apparent. The actual title, The Slight Variations, came about when I was working on one of the songs. There's a song called Wildflower on the album, which is a song that I wrote for my daughter, and which is a very positive song, by the way. It's not about the end of the world. And just speaks about a father's love for his child. And but in any case, there's a friend of mine, a very talented musician named John Osman, played an Indian abode, East Indian instrument called the Dilruba. And while we were tracking his parts, which were done as overdubs, I said, yeah, do this part and then do it again, but with a slight variation. And then this term, we thought it just sounded so for some reason, at that particular moment of time, it really struck. It seemed poignant to us and also funny, and the idea of the slight variations, and also the idea of and there is a theme that started revealing itself in the record that, you know, sometimes a very small change, something that seems a tiny increment, can result in, you know, turning things around in a gigantic way. And then there's the idea that, you know, I named the album The Slight Variations. Also, the tongue-in-cheek aspect of that is that, you know, like a classical opus, like the Brandenburg Concertos or the Goldberg Variations, if you will. And these are the slight variations. It could also be taken to mean that, like, this record is pretty different from other things that I've done, but not all that vastly different. It is a slight variation from things I've done in the past. But all kidding aside, you know, I started seeing a theme in this record about this. You know, I'm at a point in my life. I'm 55 now, and I've been doing what I do all my life. And so I feel like I've gotten to a point in my life and in my career where I have some perspective. I can look back, and, you know, you get far enough down the road, mm-hmm. you get far enough down the road where you have some perspective, and you can start to see the cycles of things come as they come around, you know. And there are a lot of songs on this album, not in a morose kind of way, but about the cycles of life and about, you know, death and rebirth, and about and there's a lot of songs on the record also inspired by being, as you said, a fairly new parent. I mean, I had my first child when I, you know, we decided to have a kid when I was 50, and so it's not as I'm definitely not the winner of the oldest dad in the world department. I've got plenty of friends, but still, it's fairly late in the game, you know, mm-hmm. and so that also adds a new element to things, you know, the fatalistic, you know, idea of coming into the beginning of what a lot of people consider the home stretch, and then but you're also starting something anew, you know. So there's sort of this duality in the record, and it started to lay itself out to me almost like a piece of classical music in that sense. So I decided to divide the songs into these sections, and there's one song which the song Trees, which is the overture. If you listen to it, which I hope some of you eventually will out there in listener land, it does really feel like an introduction. It sort of encapsulates, not so much musically, but thematically, what a lot of the rest of the record speaks about. And then I tried to clump the songs together into two movements that felt like they each made sense and said something. And the last song is the epilogue, which is sort of the release at the end of the record.
What's the value of doing a record in 2016, doing an album that you conceive of with theme, with sweep? You know, a body of work.
Well, what's the value of making a painting in 2016? I mean, you know, I think if I understand your question correctly, you know, there was a time where people of our generation expected an artist to make an album that had an arc, an album that had perhaps there was even a theme record, but that you could listen to from front to back while holding the album cover in your hand and reading every word of the liner notes, that made sense as a body of work. And that in today's world, to one extent or another, that at least to some people matters less, because songs are downloaded one at a time, they're released in piecemeal. But I feel like, you know, I just feel the need to make something that feels like a body of work, and therefore it has sense to me to do it that way. I hope that people will listen to it as such and appreciate it that way, but I'm also very excited if people, you know, in this fast-paced world of short attention spans can find a song or two amongst my canon that they can grab onto. I'll take that too. That's also gratifying enough, you know.
This next song is called Bring the Man Down, and the story behind this one is that, well, my wife and I sometimes write songs together, and we for a long time have had the dream of doing an album of children's songs, and which is a project that we actually did begin a year or so before we actually had a child of our own. And of course, now that we have a child of our own, we have no time to make an album of children's songs. This song came from a verse that my wife wrote and gave to me, which was intended to be the start of one of our children's songs. The first verse, which you'll hear, is talks about inviting the man on the moon to come live with us here on Earth. Yes, another moon-themed song. And the original idea was, like, wouldn't it be fun to invite the man on the moon to come down here and play with us, the man in the moon, you know? And then I took the verse and didn't do much with it. And a couple years ago during the winter, I was stricken with pretty bad pneumonia. And I was in bed laid up for a couple of weeks, really. And was incapacitated and also in kind of a funky state of mind. And while I was convalescing, I started to go back through scraps of things that I hadn't turned my attention to until then, and came across this lyric. And of course, in that state of mind, I started imagining all kinds of not very children's songy images about what would happen to the man in the moon once we invited him to live with us.
Thank you.
Bring the man down, bring the man down from the moon into town, bring him down. Ask the man why, ask the man why he lives in the sky, ask him why. Set him off down the road, give him gold. And paint the man black, tie a stone to his back, paint him black. Save the man's soul, shine the light, make him whole, save his soul. And tell the man why, it's a good day to die, tell him why. To be, set him free. Let the man rest with his arms cross his chest. Let him rest. Watch the man rise to his home in the sky. Watch him rise.
You've said that you have plans to use the kitchen sink not only as a recording studio, but as a sort of a house concert performance space. Now, this is something that's going to come together in the fullness of time, so we're not going to say anything's going to happen next week.
Right.
But how are you envisioning using the space?
Yeah, well, we have plans to start hosting concerts there. Our tracking room, our main live room, is... I'd say audience-wise, we can fit comfortably probably 70 people. And the idea is to host both touring musicians and local and regional artists. I mean, and most likely pair them. Mm-hmm. So we'd have a touring musician, singer, songwriter, or someone of the like come and perform and pair them with someone from our community. For the purpose of providing another small, we don't like to use the word small. We use the word intimate listening venue, because you know, not just Santa Fe, but most cities these days are bereft of those kind of venues. I mean, there's plenty of corner bars where, but for certain kinds of music, it's nice to be able to have an audience. And as most people know, the house concert phenomenon is something that's very popular, where people host concerts in their homes, and people who are really, really interested in paying attention to music and appreciating it come to these concerts. And all 100% of the proceeds goes to the artist, which is also part of our paradigm mm-hmm. for doing these shows. And so we're doing it for a myriad of reasons. One, to help foster some more creativity in our own community, to provide another stop on the road for artists who are passing through, who might, you know, there's a lot of people who play in Denver and then down in Denver and then in Austin and then blow right through here, you know.
Words are mostly made of light, sometimes feathers, sometimes song, a morning tune, a hollow bone against the sky when they're in flight.
there's a lot more to that conversation with John O'Manson, and we'll have time for it in the fullness of time, as the slight variations that you're hearing is really going to be rolling out more next month than this month. So we got in our performance, but more of the conversation and more of the album. We're listening right now to Trees, the Overture.